Well, God is good. Remember, the chair that God has picked out for you is chair number 7. That's your throne. Your throne at the right hand of Jesus, which is at the right hand of the Father. That's where you're going to be. That's where you're going to be forever. You're going to be there forever. So you have to know where you're going in order to get there. If you don't know where you're going, you won't know what direction to live your life daily. But everybody starts out in chair number 1 as a sinner. You have to be in chair number 1. So is there anyone here that didn't start out in chair number 1? Is there anybody here who didn't sin? Well, good. So we have the right group. This will be a message and a book written just for you. You started in chair 2. You didn't start. All right. Now, God wants you to humble yourself and admit you're a rotten, no good, worthless, rebellious sinner from the moment you're conceived. You're not thinking of others. You're not thinking of how to bless other people. You're thinking of yourself. And so everybody starts out there, and that's so good because a lot of people resist that. They don't want to be in that chair. They don't want to say, well, I'm really not made of dirt. But you really are. You were created out of the dirt. Isn't that neat? You didn't know that everybody's created out of the same dirt. No matter what flavor you think you are, it's all the same dirt. It's not like somebody had better dirt than you. It's all the same pile. You found that in the Garden of Eden, you remember? That's where God created. We created Adam and Eve. Adam, of course, he created out of the dirt itself. Eve was created out of Adam, the dirt. So Eve's dirt is different than Adam's dirt in that Adam was created first by God and then breathed into by God. And Eve just came straight out of Adam, which shows that if Eve does anything wrong, it's Adam's problem, because he started it. So whatever he did with his dirt, that's Eve's problem right there. Is Adam was the one that God made and gave a charge to. He didn't give a charge to Eve. He just made Eve the helpmate, to help him out. And how many know that Eve has been helping out ever since? Helping out Adam to see the dirt. So you have to start here, and you have to be wicked. God never came for the righteous. He only came for the wicked. So if you're in this chair, you're in good shape. So somebody should come up and sit here and say, this is my chair. This is the chair that I feel good about, selfish and nasty and so on and so forth. Now, as I say, most people don't want to sit there. So they usually try to sit in chair number 2 like Chad tried to do. Tried to get into chair 2 right away. But you're not really born in that chair. You're really born in chair number 1. Now, these three chairs, repentance is not just for chair number 1, although in effect it is, because chair number 2 is wicked. It's the vain portion of evil. You know, chair number 1 is obviously evil. Chair number 2 is evil because it's vain. So they're both evil and they're both sinful. If you try to get to chair number 2 from chair number 1, you're actually lying, because you're actually in chair number 1, because that's the only chair for you. And all your efforts and all your energy will never get you past chair 1 and 2, which is 1. So you really can't make any moves at all. You have no moves. That's why Jesus said here in chair number 4, sit here, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So you can't rest in these chairs because they're both made out of wickedness. And so man at his best state, that's chair 2. It's the same as man at his worst state, chair 1. So all your labor is in vain. Everything you do is in vain. If you do it, it's worthless. If you do it, it's worthless. But we make a big deal out of the difference between chair 1 and 2. God makes no difference, and that's why they killed Jesus. The reason they killed Jesus, because he said, a hypocrite, a Pharisee, a liar, a legalist, someone who's behaving themselves, who's moral and just and religious and so on, in their own eyes, is the same as a wicked sinner, harlot, murderer, thief. Same. If you say that one more time, we're going to kill you. Now, it wasn't chair one that killed Jesus, it was chair two. Religion killed Jesus. It wasn't the Romans that killed Jesus. It was the religious Jews that killed Jesus, which is us. We're all religious. We all want to look good and pretend like we're better than other people. How many here feel you're better than at least somebody else? You know, just at least somebody. Amen. Well, you're wrong, you see. You're exactly equal to. You're equal to everybody else. Equal. I mean, even. Even. And that's, you could see why people would kill Jesus for that. He, don't say that one more time, we're going to kill you. So they killed him. I love that. I love that because Jesus insisted that there was no difference between one and two. He said his father said so too. And they said, that's ridiculous. God gave us the law and some of us have kept it and some of us haven't. So they knew they were right and they knew God was wrong. And so they killed Jesus. They said, you know, you're a blasphemer. You're not on God's side at all. Jesus, who loved us to the death, Jesus was happy to die for mankind because he knew sooner or later somebody would repent and somebody would believe. Now I want to separate those three chairs from these three chairs. So these three chairs here belong to a different group. This is what you don't want to be. So you want to repent of these three chairs. So repent and believe. And these two are obey. So I'll separate these two also. Make this one different than this one. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is believing on Jesus, where most Christians are. They feel, if I believe, and I'll tell you why. If you think that there's a difference between chair one and two, you'll never grow. You'll stay right here in chair four. And you'll never grow. The only ones that grow are those that realize that my real problem is not one, but it's two. My real problem is that I'm a liar. And therefore, my repentance was psychological, only based upon behavior, one, rather than I have to repent of the fact that the real problem of sin is myself, me. Me is the real problem. The one that produces the action of one is actually the person of two. In other words, this person that produced this fruit is right here. But so you can't kind of separate yourself from your fruit and say, well, I did a few wicked things, but I'm basically good. That is silly. Well, I did quite a few basic sins, and Jesus has forgiven me for those. But basically, I'm a good fellow. I'm a good wife. I'm a good person. At least I want to be. You're a liar. You're a complete liar. This is you 100%. This is you. So this is why there's divorces. This is why everything falls apart. Because people won't admit what they are. We're all equal. We're all equally wicked. So this is a lie. At any rate, most people don't grow more than just being born again, and they don't want churches that talk about discipleship or, you know, growing up or sanctification or, you know, anything else. Now, these are three different Greek words. This one is dikaios, from the word dike. This one is hagios, from the word holy, to make holy, to make actually, really, honestly holy. This one just forgives you for being not holy, for being a one and a two. But this one says, I'll cover your sin, but I didn't remove it yet. And this one says, let's burn you up. Let's chasten you, suffer you, cause you to go through all kinds of pains and problems and troubles and difficulties. Yahoo! In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. Isn't that exciting? And so God lets you be one of these in the real world, so that you go through hell and suffering and troubles and problems, and you keep praying to God, God, get me out of here. He's the one that put you there. He wanted you, this born-again person, to go through all these troubles until you realize that two was your problem, not one. Your biggest problem is that you think you're not a sinner, or that you didn't want to be a sinner, or that you're not that bad a sinner. No, no. You are complete, total, 100% worthless. Say it. I'm worthless apart from him. You remember Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So that's why he said, come unto me, all you that labor. This is the laboring chair. This would be a chair that a person who's having a baby would sit in. They're laboring all the time, always working, trying to bring something forth, and you can't. So this is vain. They that labor, labor in vain. You try to build a house without God, it isn't going to work. You try to build a marriage without God. You try to build a church without God. You try to build a life without God. You try to build a country, anything. Whatever you want to build, it won't work. Until you realize that you're the problem. Sorry you guys are a little late, because I was just talking about you. But, amen. being late, that was what I was talking about. So, chair number one is the best chair of all. This is the chair you want. This is the one Jesus loves. He doesn't love two because there is no two. Two is just a lie. Two is you with a mask on. Two is you as a hypocrite. Two is you legalistically pretending to be something you're not. So, God doesn't count this one. He doesn't love this one because there's nobody home. There isn't any nice person. You've never been nice. You never will be nice. And, Grace, I want you to understand this. You're not good. You already know that, don't you? Amen. But you thought you were good sometimes. Jordan, you're not good either. Amen. Amen. That's because your father, David. You see, you have the wrong father. But thanks be unto God, Jesus tells us who we are. Now, here's the problem. We judge with, let's say, appearance, eyesight, rather than with right judgment. So when you make a judgment, Jesus said this in John 7:24, when you make a judgment, you must judge with right judgment. This is the true judgment right here. Now, these three chairs I would put into the holiness of God destroys all your self-confidence. Okay? All confidence in the flesh destroyed right here. Let's say you were one of these, pretending like you were one of these and you got married. You were one of these, a sinner, but you pretended like you weren't to yourself. You lied to yourself. So, well, I'm better than he is. I'm better than she is. Well, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get hurt and disappointed. And it isn't because of somebody else. It's because of you. You see, you're the problem. Until you realize that, you are the whole, total, 100% problem of why you're not happy. If sin made people happy, everybody'd be happy. See? But if religion made people happy, everybody'd be happy. But neither. It has to be a free gift, only given to sinners. So this is the problem, and that's why it's so easy to solve all problems. All problems are easily solvable, but you have to tell the truth. You can't pretend like you're here when you're really here. And that's why the fruit shows up. So you have to repent of those. Well, that's what the holiness of God does. The holiness of God says you are wicked, you're a hypocrite, and you need to repent and humble yourself. There you go. So there's the first use of holy. Holy one. Holy one. Now, this is holy too. Here's another kind of holy, another kind of righteousness. That was your righteousness, which you couldn't establish. But here's another kind of gift of God. Jesus Christ is your righteousness. Here, I'm just declared to be righteous, even though I'm not. I'm still this person over here, but Jesus has forgiven me by his blood. He went to the Father for me, and no change took place in me at all. I just simply believed that that was me. And if I only believed this one was me, or that I did a few wicked things, then my repentance is psychological. But if I actually believe I'm the problem, me, and that two is one, and one is two, that fruit came from this tree because this tree is evil, and it has been from the beginning, because God never created me and intended me to be wicked. He created me to be good, but of course, I wasn't. Now, I have to repent of both of those, and so the first kind of holiness of God shows me my sin and convicts me of sin. Because, remember, the Holy Spirit has come. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin. These three chairs. Why? Because I believe not on him. So my sin is that I'm believing still in myself or in other people. Whether I'm believing in myself or other people is immaterial. Doesn't make any difference. The point is I'm not believing in Jesus. I can believe in Buddha. Doesn't help. I can believe in Allah. Doesn't help. I can believe in any other religion. They are worthless. Those religions are evil and worthless. I can believe in the law of Moses. Worthless. Nothing can be perfected under the law. Because you're not perfectible. This is not perfectible. Anything you do is not going to get perfect. So you can try with all your might and all your main and all your strength, and you're going to end up in the same boat. Now, aren't you glad you came today to see how crummy you are, how awful you are? Who would like to stand up and say, Pastor, I realize I'm a one from the get-go. I've always been a one. And I thank God for number four to get me out of all that. I thank God for forgiving me all my sins, because all I was sin. I didn't just have a few sins here in chair one. I was sin. Everything I ever did, when I did a nice thing, I always had a sinful reason for doing it. My motives were always selfish. I was continually, constantly, forever trying to do something to prove myself how great I am. How great I am. It's great. Isn't it great? You ever sung that song? I mean, not to God, but to yourself. How great I am. That's a beautiful song, but it happens to be an illusion. It happens to be in vain. So, who would like to say, I belong in chair one? Who would like to say that? You're one and a two? Yeah, both of them. That's quite a combo. One and two, see? But once you get there, you can realize you don't believe in goodness anymore. You believe that there's no human goodness, no even capacity for it, not even the possibility of it. Why then does God give the law? Oh, you thought he gave the law because you could do it, as though you had the ability or the capacity or the desire or the knowledge. Wrong. He gave it to prove that you were wicked. That's all. The only reason he gave the law was to show you couldn't keep it. So, why did he give the Ten Commandments to Israel? So he would show them that they couldn't keep it. The law was a schoolmaster to teach you that until the true king, the true priest, the true prophet came, you would have no hope. There'd be no hope in the world until Jesus came 4,000 years late. It was 4,000 years until men had 4,000 years to learn about how wicked they were, whether they were one of these or one of these. They're totally wicked. So, isn't that exciting? Do y'all see that this is you? And this will solve all your problems. You'll never have a divorce. You'll never have a problem. You'll never have any problems as long as you realize who you are. So don't judge with appearance. Judge with right judgment. Don't judge by eyesight, opsis in the Greek. It means by the external eye. When a judge judges, he can't judge by the external eye, what's seen. He has to judge with right judgment, which means God's judgment. Now here's God's judgment. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. All have sinned and fallen short, not of the glory of man, but of the glory of God. Because only God is glorious. So his holiness, and here's the first seraphim that we're going to read about. The first seraphim sang, holy. Then the second one sang, holy. And then the third one sang, holy. Here's another kind of holy. This one was imputed to me. This one is actual. Here, the way God actually makes you holy, I mean really, truly, truly holy, is by killing you. This first chair here is a killer chair. This is the, what do they call it, electric chair. Or the dunking chair, you know, when they used to test witches, and if they dunked them, and then they held them there, and if the person didn't drown, then they were innocent. But a lot of them drowned. So you could always tell who a witch was. Just keep that chair down, then you lift them up to see if they're alive. Yep, yeah, just give them another test. And you just keep going until they're dead. You see, the Holy Spirit, as soon as Jesus got baptized, the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Best thing ever happened to you. Get into a test, into a temptation. In the world, you have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Well, goody for you. No, that was for you. That was to show you all your righteousness is right here. So that's a holy, this is a holy, and this is a holy. Are they the same? No. In the Hebrew language, holy, 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 which we'll see in a minute, is kodesh or kadosh. In this particular verse, it's kadosh. But kodesh, kadosh, it's the same. Holy, holy, holy. But in the Old Testament, you would think that's one word, holiness. It's actually not. It's three different words. This kind of holiness here is the holiness that convicts you of sin. This kind of holiness is the holiness that says Jesus Christ is your righteousness, and because you believe, you're reckoned to be holy. This one here says, you're holy because I killed you and then lived in you and through you and with you in a beautiful, loving relationship. And now you can walk in the Spirit and walk in the, you know, you can do it in this world. You can actually be led of the Spirit and be a true son of God. So you see, three different kinds of holy. One word, three different meanings. That's Kodesh, that's Kodesh, that's Kodesh. That's Kadosh, that's Kadosh, that's Kadosh. It's the same. Now, all of that is the glory of God. So the glory of God is from glory to glory to glory. He's changing me. Do you see that? This glory here is that you have none. Only God is glorious. So that's a bummer. This glory here is that Jesus Christ is your glory. And therefore you thank Him. And here you praise Him. And here you adore Him and worship Him. Do you see that worship? That's the increasing, ever-increasing glory. Holy, holy, holy. Now, in the book of Revelation, you also see that the angels round about the throne sing the same thing. Holy, holy, holy. In fact, Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, they all sing forever. Those are the four creatures around the throne. They continually, forever and ever, I mean, for all eternity, there'll be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because they are the gospel. And they tell you this same story that I just told you, is that this is the holiness of God, and it's the best one. Because this one shows you, you ain't. And you can't go to a doctor unless you know you're sick. So the first thing you have to find out is how wicked you are apart from Him. And then you find out that He did this for you without you even asking Him. He just said, Jim, I died for you. And then I rose for you. And then I'm going to reign and rule for you. So here's Jesus as Savior. And here are these two chairs are Jesus as Lord. So here He lords you, but the first thing He does is not teach you how to walk in love. It's to kill you so that you don't have anything to do with it. That's killing chair two. He has to get rid of the self in chair two. He doesn't just forgive your sins. This one takes care of chair one. He forgives your sins. But here, He kills yourself. This is Jesus taking up His cross. This is you taking up your cross. This is called discipleship. Most Christians don't want to be disciples because they want to just, you know, live the life they want to live in sin. They want to continue to sin even though they're Christians, even though they believe in God. They still want to be back here. So the holiness of God has to convict them every day that there's something wrong. Did anybody notice that? That after you became a Christian, you still sinned? You still got afraid? You still were jealous? You still angry? You still defended yourself when someone attacked you instead of saying, hallelujah. Does anybody do that? You know, when somebody attacks you and say, you know what, you're worthless. And you go, well, praise the Lord. Or you go, hey, what about you? There's something in us that wants to defend ourselves and attack the other person that just attacked me. Or even preemptively, as George Bush would do, get them before they even get you. I love that little approach. Now, Jesus Christ has forgiven all your sins. Stop. Okay, so most people like this chair. This is one of those chairs with a little handle on them. You can lay back, you know, and you just rest. Oh, this is so comfortable because Jesus did it all. I don't do anything. I do nothing. Now, everybody wants to stay here because they don't like this chair because you get all burned up and killed. And nobody wants to admit that because my sins are forgiven. I'm not going to look at my sins anymore. I have the righteousness of Christ. I'm not going to be conscious of sin. I don't want to be conscious of sin. Well, what about all the sin in you? Well, I don't know. I don't know about it. I love it. I love it. That's called denial. Yes, you spiritually are done with sin, but only spiritually, not psychologically and not physically. You're still chair number one and two. So this one finishes it off. Don't even worry about the sin. Let's just kill you. You know what killing is? That's just simply beholding Him, we are changed. When you see His love, this is holy, and this is holy. When you see this ever-increasing glory, from glory to glory, He's changing me. 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that the way the Lord cleanses us is not by teaching. It's not by teaching. So if you just learn who Christ is and how He's in you and who you are and you're in Christ, you'll grow. No, you won't. Teaching does not grow you. Suffering does. Oh, no, I don't need to be any suffering. Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. The suffering, this is chair suffering 5. This chair is a good one. Because here, you suffer with Him, And I'll tell you something else. You will never be glorified with him in chair 6 until you learn to suffer with him right here in chair 5. Now, this one prepares you for it because you're not worried about it. Because Jesus Christ has forgiven all your sins anyway. And even though you go through the suffering and complain and gripe and moan, it's just a sin. He says, well, praise the Lord for God. You can look in the mirror, see who you are, and then if you really know that God loves you unconditionally, because after all, he showed you all your sin, and now he loves you and wants you to be in the kingdom of God, to be his royal bride, to be sitting next to the Father and the Son. The Son's there and the Father's there. So we could have 2 more chairs there if you want. I just didn't want to use up all the chairs. But we could use a lot of chairs here. David, how many am I supposed to have? 12 eventually. David thinks I'll have 12 chairs before it's all over. And David's usually right. So I think he's probably right. Now, I want to read out of Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah, you ever heard of King Uzziah? Or Uzziah? Uzziah, 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 some kind of Uzziah. In the year, in the very year, and in the Hebrew, it doesn't say in the year that King Uzziah died. It said, in the year of the death of the King Uzziah. In the year of the death of the King Uzziah. Isn't that interesting? So now, in the Hebrew, what it's doing is putting the emphasis where I just put it in the Hebrew, which is, in the year of the death of the King Uzziah. I also saw something else. In other words, when the king, now an earthly king, do you want to bring up that board for a second? Jack.
Isaiah 6.
Could you bring up the board? Thanks.
Do you need the easel?
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. Just where it is, fine. You already know this board, so it's not a big deal. Thank you. Now, the reason I want to do this, I want to show you where everybody is. I'm not a preacher, I'm a teacher. Anybody can preach. We have thousands of preachers. We have very few teachers. The only thing that's wrong with that is you get inspired to do what? Nothing, because you're not taught. So what you need, more than anything in the world, the church needs a teacher. Every pastor should be a teacher. Preaching is wonderful, it kind of stirs you up. But it won't go anywhere, and that's why people don't go anywhere. So you have too much preaching and not enough teaching. So anyway, I want to teach you. Now, this teaching is this. These are the three holies. This holiness convicts me of sin. This holiness convicts me of the righteousness of Jesus that forgives me. And this holiness, that's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, by the way. This holiness teaches me the third kind of holiness, is the glory of the Holy Spirit who changes me from glory to glory, from one degree of glory to another. So I move from this holy to this holy to this holy so that I'm able then to sit with God forever and ever in glory. Because nobody, nobody, nobody has ever seen the glory of God. The glory of God you have not seen. You've seen some of it, part of it, in part. We see in part. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Here I'm a believer in Jesus. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appeareth, we shall see him, not from this chair, but from faith active in love. From this chair, here. This is where I want everyone to be in this church, so that you're all sitting in this chair, having gone through this chair, and when you go through all the hell and the problem, the troubles and the difficulties, and say, hallelujah! Glory to God, I needed that. I'm glad I had a horrible husband. I'm glad that life stunk. Most of you are not. Most of you are always praying, oh God, deliver me from evil, you know, get me out of this problem. No, but you see, that only means that you won't die. But you need to die, not physically, until you're dead psychologically. Here you died spiritually, here you die psychologically, and here you're ready to die physically whenever that needs to take place. And if you're already perfected, you're not living for yourself because chair number 6 is living for others. You're not alive for yourself. You're alive to show others because nobody sees chair 4 and 5 and 2 and 1 and 3. They don't see any of those chairs. The only chair they see is 6. You either look like a Christian or you don't. If you still look like chair number 1, that's all they know. So, but if you're dead to yourself, I'll tell you what, you are seeing more of glory than if you're here. You don't see much glory here unless you praise the Lord here. When you're going through troubles and you say, praise the Lord, people see the glory. So here I'm thankful to God. Here I praise Him. And He dwells in the praises of His people until you're dead. And here I'm actually in love with Him, and I'm led by the Spirit, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm walking in love. And people see it because they see I'm no longer me. Because me is dead in chair 5. So me was forgiven in chair 4. Me was repented of, chair 1 and 2. But God wants to bring us all to chair 6. Now, who is in chair 6 right now? You're already dead to yourself. You've gone through troubles after troubles. Do you praise the Lord every step along the way? It only takes 20 or 30 years for that, by the way. And when you get there, you're really ready to praise the Lord at all times. And so when Jesus comes back, He'll say, well done. Well done. He doesn't say, you know, well wanted. He doesn't say well believed. He says not well wanted, but He says well done. You done it. You actually did it. You were actually... And you know, when men see your good works, Matthew 5, verse 16, when men see your good, you know what they'll do? They won't praise you because they'll know you're dead. Because they know you couldn't have done that, because they know you. But they know you went through this and you praised the Lord, so you must be dead. They'll give glory to the Father. They know that's only a work that God could do. If you can go through troubles and problems and difficulties and say, hallelujah, everything's going my way. Well, it's the best day of my life. Things couldn't be better. Woohoo! Then you're alive in God. Because only a Christian can do that. A Buddhist can't do that. A Hindu can't do it. Nobody else in the world can do it. No matter how much they pretend in their religion that they can knock out their old self. You can't knock out the self. I mean, and you're supposed to get nirvana, you know, if you do it through one way and you kind of blank yourself out. I mean, there's an Indian brother that I know whose father was one of the great, you know, Hindu guys. And he sat in a certain spot for, I don't know how many, 20 years or something, and never moved. And that was, he was blanking himself out, you see. And the guy never moved. And this is what made the son a Christian when he saw this. And one day his beard had grown so long and his, you know, they were able, and he had told them, I don't want any changes made in me, fingernails, anything. Just let everything be. I'm never going to move from this spot. So they saw the guy had, I don't know, lice or something in his beard. And so they decided to cut it off. And so they started snipping on the beard. And the guy didn't want any movements like that. But the lice was getting all over it. It was getting all over the house and everything. So they had to do something. And the guy dropped dead. You see that? You can't kill yourself. That guy was self enough to know, he just cut my beard. So he didn't blank himself out. Religion will never do it. You can stick all the pins you want in you, or, you know, in your eyes, or have tattoos or whatever. It's not going to help. It's not going to help. You cannot change yourself. Only God who made you is the only God that can change you by killing you. And when He kills you, then you'll be changed. Isn't that exciting? That's so simple. It's so simple. You want to change? There, that's it. I love that approach. The way to train you is just to kill you. That's why I like this discipleship training. It's just come and die. See, it's not come and live. It's come and die. Die to your old self. Oh, I can't. Of course you can't. This is not your work. Remember, we're supposed to repent of that. So you must not have truly repented. Because if you truly repent and believe, then you will obey. And so when he says obey, he says, come, submit to me here. Come here. Sit in this electric chair. Sit in my Duncan stool. You know, get here until you're dead. Well, I was thinking of something else. I was thinking of having a blessed life. I was thinking of, you know, having everything go my way. Now I'm a Christian now. I think everything should go my way. Now you say, well, Pastor, a lot of teachers don't teach like you teach. That's right. I know they don't. It's okay. Let them teach the way they want to. Well, I'm teaching in a way that is right. How will you have any customers if you keep teaching like this? I don't know. I don't care. I'll be a customer, and Peggy will. She's married to me. If it kills her, she's going to be my customer. Peggy's my first disciple, and she will be my last disciple if she doesn't die out, you see. So she's the toughest customer of all. You all know that. She's tough. strong as an ox. That peg is strong. It's just strong. I'm not strong at all. I'm a weakling. The reason I got a hold of this is because I'm such a weakling. When sin is offered to me, I take it. I take it and do it. If God says, don't be proud, I'm proud of that. That's whatever. I've never been good at, you know, doing anything decent. And so, hypocrite I never went to because I like just plain flat sinning. So I never went to that chair. I was never phony or fake. Jim, do you love me? No. See, it was simple. I never lied. I didn't have to. It wasn't that I wasn't a liar. It's just that I lied to everybody else, but I didn't lie to myself. Did you hear what I just said? I lie to anybody. Lying is nothing. But Jesus said, now repent of all that. And I said, I can't, and I won't. I'm not going to. And see, did you know that repentance is not a work, it's a gift? He just said, look at Jim, what a worthless person you are. And I went, I see it. I mean, but if you say it one more time, I'll kill you. And so, did I scare God? No, God was not scared. He wasn't scared of me. He didn't care that I swore at him or whatever. He didn't care. God was okay with that. Isn't that interesting? Now, people don't like that. If you swear at a person, they don't like it. But God, he could handle it. I say, God, I don't love you, and I'm never going to love you, and I don't. And I love me, probably, maybe. I don't know. I don't even know what I am. I don't know who I am. Do y'all understand? So I never had an identity problem. I always knew I was one of these. I didn't have the word. I just knew I was a sinner. I just knew I wanted everything. I remember the first time I went to college, day one, they told us, somebody said it, you should be altruistic. I never heard that word before. So I said, because it was a Christian school like SMU or something here. So I said, what's altruistic? Oh, that means you love other people and you don't love yourself. You know, you love them more than you love yourself and you don't take care of yourself. Oh, so I'll never be one of those. And I said, well, that's what this school is all about. It's a Christian school. Well, I'm out. And that's the end of me. I mean, I'm finished because I'm never going to love other people more than me. I only love me and I don't love anybody else. And I don't like you that just told me that. I mean, that's the end of it. But I knew I was in the wrong school. Because in this school, they were trying to teach me to be a chair, too, and they're calling that Christianity. As though if I could just suppress my flesh, I'd be a Christian. I like to express my flesh, you see. And if you don't want me to, do it in front of you, I'll do it when you're not looking. Because I'm sneaky, and I don't believe in God, and I don't fear God, and I don't have a God. So I have no guilt, and I have no shame. Do you all understand that? There are some people like me. You, actually, but you don't know it. But I was openly, outwardly wicked. And I loved it. I even practiced it. I would stand in front of the mirror and, you know, practice like Adolf Hitler used to do. Did you know Adolf used to do that? And I'd practice how to be wicked but look innocent. So that's a simple hypocrite, but I didn't believe in it. I knew I'm just lying. So I cheated on every test I ever took. I never took a test that I didn't cheat on. I cheated on everything. I lied all the time. I stole all the time. I conned people all the time. You name it, I did it. And I had no guilt about it. Well, most of you are not criminals like I am. But that's the way I was. So Jesus had to love me as a criminal. He couldn't love me as a hypocrite and a liar. He had to love me as a hypocrite. But I didn't even believe in him. I mean, as a wicked person. So I knew when Jesus said, I love you, he was lying. You can't love me. I don't even love me, really. No, I'll kill you if you get around me. He said, I've already gone through that. It's already done, Jim. Jesus Christ died for you. Well, I don't like him. Well, he died for you. Don't you feel thankful? Nope. It's too bad for him. But if he died for me, that's good. What do I get for that? I mean, how's that bless me? I don't want to know what I have to do. I want to know what you did for me that's so wonderful. Well, when you die, you get to go to heaven. Well, good. Okay. Well, that's better than that other place you were talking about. So, okay, I'll take it. You see what a cheap Christian I was? Can you tell there was not any sincerity to that? I was completely real. Because I knew I was a sinner. And I didn't think I could not be one. I didn't want to not be one. Somebody said, well, just pray that someday you'll want to be. I said, well, I don't want to be. Okay, pray that you'll want to be. That was Sam Shoemaker. He wrote a book about that. I said, I don't even want to wanna be. And then there was a guy, Keith Miller. Yeah. And he wrote a book that said, you should wanna be. And I called him up on the phone because he was in Houston or something. I called him up and said, well, I just read your book and it says be honest, but I already am honest. And I'm so honest that I don't even believe in honesty. That's just stupid. And so what do you have to say to me? And he had nothing to say. This is a great writer. It's one of the greatest writers of that 1960s and 70s. But I knew he had nothing. I knew I could, you know, just talking to him, well, how can you get me clear? Well, you just have to be honest. Well, I already am. I'm honest enough to say you're irritating me right now. You know, just, do you have it or do you not have it? You know, if you have a way to get me out and be a Christian and so on, I'll take it. But I'm not going to get there by any virtues. Oh, that's wonderful. You're honest. That's silly to say that. That is ridiculous. Because nobody is going to get there just because they're honest. Honesty does not set men free. Don't you know your scriptures? And so this guy couldn't help me. Nobody could help me because I was wicked to the hilt. Do you all understand that? And I loved it. And I didn't mind lying to people, but why should I lie to God if he exists? And if he doesn't exist, what's the point? So there was no point to either of them. But Jesus said he loved me, and I kept reading the word because I was a pastor. I was a pastor. But I knew I didn't believe in God, and I didn't believe in Jesus. I didn't believe in anything. Is there anybody here like me? Is there anybody here like me? Nobody? Well, praise God. Well, anyway, I was like this. And I was what the Bible's talking about. Sinner. That's a sinner. I came for sinners. Well, I guess you came for me. So show up. I mean, appear. Well, I knew he didn't do that because I read it in the book. But I still didn't care. It's just like, well, if you could just show up. And I would drive along 820 over in Fort Worth. And I'd say, okay, look at all the clouds that are in the sky. Almost nobody can look right now. And that cloud right there, just stick your hand out real fast like that. I'll see it. No one else will see it. No one else will take a picture of it or anything like that. I'll just see it, and then I'll know you're there, and I'll follow you. That's all you have to do. Just prove yourself to me. And then I'll follow you for the rest of my days. And I know you aren't going to fall for it, but still, I'm reduced to that. Just do it. Because I'm not just going to believe. I don't like this believe thing. I want to see it to believe it. And I know you're not supposed to, but that's what I want. You see how stubborn I was, how foolish I was, how wicked I was? But that's how I fell in love with Jesus. Because the more I read, it started to get to me. And I fell in love. I mean, I won't tell you the story, but one day I just absolutely, totally, 100% believed in Jesus. That was out in Arizona, near Phoenix. And I totally was in love. Nobody knew about it. I didn't tell anybody. But I was born again. That wasn't even part of my tradition. In my tradition, you don't get born again. You just get baptized as an infant. And if you come in as an adult, you go through classes. That's how you became my kind of background. And I knew that was a good one. But you know what? That day, I didn't have any of that stuff that my tradition taught, so my tradition was wrong. And I didn't believe in it anyway. But now I knew. No. I actually am in love with Jesus. And I didn't want to just have faith. I wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then I wanted to walk in love. I wanted the whole thing. I don't want Abraham to be ahead of me. I mean, you see, that was a sinful way of looking at it. That was because I was wicked. If you're going to be altruistic and wonderful, I want to be the best unselfish person in the world. You see that? You see the pride in that? I wanted to be humble but proud that I was the best humble. So I knew there was something wrong there. But still, the word got a hold of me. And so, in the year that King Uzziah died, what is it about kings? Here's King Uzziah down here, number 4. And by the way, this is Jesus' spot. So when Uzziah dies, big deal. He has all kinds of glory. But all his glory is in robes, in crowns, in thrones. Totally external. Nothing was in his heart. Uzziah was not a wonderful king. In fact, he was a sinner. Now, this Uzziah, when he died, everybody's wondering, what are we going to do next? He has outward glory, but no inward glory. Because it wasn't from the heart. This guy did not love God from the heart. He was just another Jewish king. But in the year that he died, this was before Jesus became king. Before that, because Jesus is the only perfect king. This is an imperfect king. He was like me, sitting on the throne, trying to get outward glory. But I didn't have anything going for me. But here, Jesus did this, so all I'd have to do is have faith and be a believer. So I could repent that I wasn't any good. I was sitting in chair one. I repented. Then number two, I was a believer that Jesus Christ was all my righteousness. Wow. And I became one of these right away. Then I knew it. I was so joyful. I was totally in love. Total peace came into my heart. I mean, I just knew from now on, I'm a Christian. And nobody can take it from me. Because it had nothing to do with me. I have faith that Jesus Christ, this right here, this was my king, this was my Lord, this was my everything. He loved me. And I even asked him that night that he saved me. Well, do I have to make you the Lord of my life tonight? Could I postpone that till later? And I think he was okay with it. At least I always thought he was. So I did. I just said, okay, you're my king, and I make you de jure, that is legally speaking, my Lord, but not de facto, practically. I still want to be my Lord. Because I knew I would still have feelings and thoughts that weren't right. So I didn't want to be a hypocrite right off the bat. I just wanted to be a believer and then tell him, okay, you can kill me anytime you want. I said this to him. You can kill me anytime you want, but I'm not helping you. So if you can get me when I'm not looking or something, maybe sleeping, get me like that. Because I'm not good at cooperating. I'm good at believing. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I love you, and I know this is cheap. And I know I'm supposed to make you the Lord of my life, but right now I just want to start with the Savior part. Get this down that you love me no matter what. Because I've been a bum all my life. I've been awful, terrible, cheating, lying, and all that stuff. But now, I want you just to love me like you say you do, and bless me without changing. I want you to love me before I change. If I weigh 400 pounds, I want you to love me at 400. I don't want you to love me because I'm going to promise to go to 350 or something. I want to be loved just the way I am, rotten to the core. Did anybody else ever do that here? You let God love you no matter how bad you were, how evil you were, how nasty you were, and you didn't do a thing to help him. Because he said you can't do anything. And I got that down. Okay. I'm just believing. But now, all of a sudden, I found him putting me in this chair with all kinds of problems. And I opened the Bible just totally without knowledge at all. With my finger, you know how you do it? You just put your finger on a verse. And I said, God, since I don't know what I'm doing, I'm a pastor, but I don't know what I'm doing, I'm just going to open it up, and the first verse I come to, I'm going to start with that verse, and I won't go to any other verse, and when you teach me on that one verse, then I'll go on to another verse. 3 years I stayed on that one verse. You know what that verse said? Rejoice in the Lord always. And I did. I would, everything I do, I just literally do it. I didn't care if it was mechanistic or genuine or anything. I just praise God for everything. If somebody hate me, ha, praise God that person hated me. If I didn't feel like praising God, I'd say, praise God, I don't feel like praising you. I just praise him for everything. I just literally did whatever he said. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know you think I'm crazy, but I'm not. This actually turned out to be the right way. And I just praised him, and 3 years later, it wasn't working, but I wasn't trying to get it to work. I was just doing what the guy said. I believed in Jesus for my salvation, and now I was submitting to his lordship, but I only gave him one scripture, and I knew he probably wanted me to have more, but I just want the one scripture. If you don't come through on that, you're not a good God. So I'm making it hard on you and easy on me, because you said you bear all the burdens and I get all the blessing. I'm sticking right here to this chair until you get me into this chair. But I'm willing to submit on one verse. So I got that verse, praised him for everything, day in and day out, day in and day out. 3 years later, bang, all of a sudden, in 1 second, I was joyful beyond measure. And I knew now it wasn't faith. I knew actually I was in love. And I felt it. It was real. And I knew if I had that one victory, I could get two, and then three, and four, and five. I knew there was nothing impossible. I knew I'd be going all the way until I was perfected, completely dead unto him. And I said, God, I'm ready to take up my cross. I now know that you're a real God. And I'm not trying to know it. I just know it. I'm not trying to do anything. I just know it. All I do is believe in you. And if I get in trouble over here, I'm going to run back to this chair. Do you all understand? This is my favorite chair. And if you don't, if it somehow it doesn't work out here and I'm not so good at taking up my cross, I'll run back here and get onto your cross again. Do y'all see this? This is going to be your lifesaver, people. Because you cannot be perfect in this one right here and this one right here. You can't do it. You always run back to this one. God, okay, I tried to beat the devil, but he beat me again. So could you, I'm just going to sit here. You kind of hospitalize me here. Just take care of me. I'll just sit here. And I'm not a big Christian anymore. I'm just a little peeny weeny, tiny Christian. But just love me and bless me right here. I didn't earn it. I wasn't a good disciple at all. But just love me as I am. Just as I am. You know, and I just sat there and let him love me. And you know what? In a few minutes, I was well again. I felt good. And I said, God, I'm ready to go. He said, you better sit here a little longer. You have to know how much I love you because you got out there and you got in trouble and then you ran back here. Yeah, because the devil ran right over me. I was going to defeat the devil. I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. And that wall ran over me and the troop, you know, stomped on me. And I said, I don't know how this thing works. But eventually, I fell in love. And then eventually, I began to walk in love. And that was amazing. Because it's easy to believe that Jesus loves me. It was even easy for me to praise God no matter what happens. But what was hard was to believe that I actually could be a holy man. That was impossible. How could I ever be? Look at my background. Look how I started out. Look what the Bible says. I don't see how I can ever get here unless you keep your promise. I can't help you on this one. So in order to kill me, you have to kill me all the way so that there's no lust, no anger, no bitterness, no jealousy, no fear, nothing. You'll have to do that. I don't want any of that to rule and reign over me anymore. Just the way you say. I want to be just like Paul, just like Abraham, just like Isaac. I want to be like anybody that's been in the Bible. I want miracles, signs, wonders. I want everything you got. I want to be number one. Do you see that? I wanted to be the best Christian that ever was. Isn't that amazing? Well, that'll get you in trouble. So I said, I don't care. I'm dead to this world. I've already had the world. The world stinks. The world doesn't have anything to offer me. I already went for the world. I know how to get it. I already know I can get all the stuff I want in the world just by lying, cheating, stealing, and everything. I know I can get it. I can deceive people. I am good at it. I'm very good at it. But you know what? That doesn't lead to happiness. I found that out. That doesn't lead to joy. And Peggy's ticked off. And, you know, this is not working out so hot. So I'm trying your way now. I'm going to go this way because you say you love me no matter what. You say you're the one that's going to kill me and disciple me and train me and teach me and instruct me until I'm dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. And you're going to cause me to walk through the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay, do it. Okay, go. Because it wasn't up to me, right? Now, God did this and then he said, you are my bride. You're not going to be my bride. You are my bride. And he said, listen to what he said. He didn't just say, if you see it here, it'll be true here. What he said was, you are already seated with Christ in heavenly places. Wow. If any man is in Christ, that was me over there, chair four, he is, already is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. In God's eyes, I've been, from the moment I was born, I've been the target of his love. Because he only came for sinners. Came down and announced to me, Jim, I love you. And then one day I believed it, but it wasn't me. I didn't try to do it. I repented of all this because I realized, you know, that doesn't work anyway. Even if I tried to be wicked, it doesn't work. I can't be wicked anymore. I try. I can't do it. I just can't keep it up because the Holy Spirit immediately comes and convicts me, Jim, what are you going to get out of that? Nothing, I guess. So why are you exaggerating? Why are you lying? Why are you cheating? Why are you doing all that? I don't know. I forgot. Okay, well, I forgive you. Sit here in this chair. Get here in this chair. So I repent of that. And immediately, he puts me through this again. We have to burn you one more time. Burn, burn, burn. And then that's good. I need that. And now praise me. Thank me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. No, 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 Jim. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, no. Hallelujah. So he kept training me until I learned to praise him as though it was the best day of my life. No matter what the sin is, I don't care about it. It doesn't interest me. No matter what the pain, the suffering. Let me die. Who cares? I give up my life for you, Jesus, and I want to live just here. Now, I'm already here, and because of that joy that's set before me, I endured the cross, despising the shame. I don't care about all this. I'm ready to die at any moment. That means I'm ready to live at any moment. You see, if you're ready to die, you're ready to live. So God does all that. Now, do you have a God like that? Listen to this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting on a throne. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. Now, the Lord is up here in the heaven sitting on the throne, but he also is Lord Jesus, who wasn't born at that time, wasn't down on earth, but Jesus was already up in heaven. And that's why you're going to see it says three things. Holy, holy, holy. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I just showed you. This is the Father, His holiness. This is the Son, His mercy. This is the Holy Spirit, His power. And when the Holy Spirit has come, you will receive power. So here's the power to change you. Here's the power to forgive you. And here's the power to convict you of sin. Now, he said this. Above it, his train filled the temple. You know, he's up there. He's filling everything. Stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. Two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another, this one to this one, and said, Holy, holy, holy. Remember I went through the holy, then the holy, then the holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. This is the first, the earth sees this law of God right here. Be perfect. Be exactly like me. I made you. The earth is the Lord's, fullness thereof. Everybody hears this one. Only a few people hear this one. And only a very few people hear this one. So everybody, the whole earth is full of his glory. But here's where it starts. This is for everybody. Everybody knows there's a law. It's written on your heart. It's written on the Ten Commandments. That you have to be perfect like God is. You have to, don't do any wrong, only do right. Everybody has a conscience. They know. Everybody has reason. They know. Everybody. But here, only a few who fail this test, who flunk this holiness. Because you weren't holy. Now only God is holy. Now, you can have faith. And if you have faith, then you can go on and obey. Actually become like Jesus, actually, truly, really. In your marriage. In your church. In your job. In your neighborhood. In your world. So that the world can see it. Not just you say it. You have a bumper sticker on your car or something. Oh, I must be a Christian. That's just a bumper sticker. They wear a little cross around their neck. I don't know who it's for. The point is, if you're not a lover, they're going to know it. They're going to call you a hypocrite then. Because you didn't go through this chair. You can't cheat. Remember I used to cheat? I knew here you're not supposed to cheat with God. So if you're one of these, faith has to be active in love so that I end up a lover. So I know he's a lover. I have to be a lover so that I can sit in the lover chair. Because here I am next to my bridegroom. Here I'm the bride. He's the bridegroom. And here's the Father right here. So his holy, holy, through the Holy Spirit, holy, that's what I want. I want everything God has. Now, is there anybody here who wants everything that God has? Anybody? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Okay, the rest of you, get out. Because this is what it's all about. It's all about you. And I'll tell you what, when you're holy, you're happy. Isn't that interesting? Do you know that I'm holy today? And I love it. It makes me happy. Holy, it just means set aside for God. It means I'm not for myself anymore. And I'll take care of myself. I'm so blessed, I can't believe it. I feel like, I told Tommy on the way in, I just feel like I'm cheating. Because I am too blessed. I can't believe that I didn't deserve it or earn it or anything. It's just Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Is anyone else like that? And you can do that in this rotten, wicked, nasty world. Have a good time right here. And we're surrounded with devils and, you know, liars and cheaters and so on. People like me. But you know what? You can be totally in love with Jesus and you don't even care. You have no care at all for this world. And one cried to the other and said, Holy, holy, holy. Now I say in the Greek language, remember I told you that's kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Okay? But in the Greek, I believe it's dikaios, that chair, hagios, that chair, and doxa, like doxology. Doxa, this chair. So, I believe holy, holy, holy is to show us that this holiness was necessary to produce this holiness, which is necessary to produce this holiness. In other words, you have to start with this one over here, where you don't have any. You're holy, nothing. And Jesus is holy for you, nothing. And here, you are now holy and something. But the something is Christ in you. the hope of glory. And Christ through you, the hope of glory. This is for you, this is in you, this is through you. So that you is a new you. Totally made a new creation by God. Just by starting with faith, but actually starting with repentance, but actually starting with sin. You have to start here. This is how you're born into the world. Every man is not just born into the world in sin. They're conceived in sin. Did you know the Bible says that? That's what's wrong with all the abortion stuff. Is you're not a lump of clay or a lump of nothing. You're a baby. You're a person. Remember John the Baptist inside the womb when Mary came. That was just the 6th month, beginning of the third trimester. He was already a person, and he leapt for joy. How anyone could know that a leap inside your tummy was joyous, I don't know. But Elizabeth knew it, and Mary knew it. The Holy Spirit. So it's so powerful that that baby recognized another baby and knew, that's my Lord. That's my Lord. I'll tell you what, you may not know who you really are. I didn't even know I had a spirit, an evil one. But I didn't know I had a spirit. I didn't know anything about a spirit. But God gave me that. You see, God saw me through the eyes of Jesus long before I was born. You know, all the things that happened to me didn't make any difference. He just canceled all that out and said, Jesus is now your righteousness. When you stand before me, come in this name. And then this will be the case, and this will be the case, but you don't go to heaven because of these two. You go to heaven because of this one right here. Because you didn't have one of those, you got one of these. Ah, holy, holy, holy. And so those angels began singing, and here's what he said, and I'll close. Here's what he said. Woe is me! He started out here on this holy. This is Isaiah, Isiyahu. Isaiah, Isiyahu, said, woe is me, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he heard holy, 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 and the temple shook, and the foundations quaked. He said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Now, this was a priest. Isaiah was one of the great holy persons. But under the law, no one is holy. And he said these words, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Why, the Jewish people were the most holy of all the people on the earth. But Isaiah said, not so. I am a man of unclean lips. Woe is me. Woe is a big word. We don't use it any longer. But weal means happy, and woe means sorrowful, sad, something terrible, disastrous. Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. In other words, my mouth is no good, the sins that I mouth off. And I'm no good. I am a man of unclean lips. Then he said, the angel, or one of the seraphim, flew to him and put a coal on his lips and burned his lips. Because he was just speaking that, I'm a man of unclean lips. Immediately, he burned his lips and said, paid for. That's faith. That when he touched him and the angel said to him, your sins have been forgiven. You're no longer a man of unclean lips. You were a sinner, now you're a saint. Wow, from what? From someone who died for you, for someone that got burned up. Jesus was the burnt offering. He was the sacrifice that was burnt for you. The Lamb of God that was burned out in the outer court. That's outer court, this is holy place, and this is the Holy of Holies. Now, then he said, who will go for me? Now, here I'm made holy by someone else touching my lips and doing all that stuff, and he just declared it to me, imputed it to me. And then he said, who will go for me? And immediately, the man being dead said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. And then he began to give revelation to Isaiah. That's why Isaiah, when you think of the prophets, he's one of the greatest of all the prophets. Because what he saw and said was so powerful. And that's why he predicted the birth of Christ and predicted all this stuff that he just saw. And he asked him, how long will it be that Israel is blind? How long will it be that Israel will not come to the Lord? And he said, until cities lie waste. Until there's no inhabitant. In other words, a time of great destruction. And he keeps going. And he tells more and more and more stuff. So that means it wasn't when the Babylonians took over. It wasn't when, Egypt, all those different bad guys took them. No, it hasn't yet come. Israel's future right now is grim. So it's up to us to help them. You are the light and the salt, not only for the whole world, but for Israel in particular. When they see your good works, they'll give glory to the Father. If they don't see your, if they only hear about your Christianity, it's nothing. They have to see it. They have to see the blessing that comes on you. Now, 2010, this year, what God said, you're going to break out on the right hand spiritually and on the left hand physically in such a way that even the world says there's something there. He's talking about our churches, but he's also talking about the church at large, but particularly our churches. I'm going to do it in such a way that Satan will actually lose and people will know that was the power of God. That has to be signs, wonders, miracles that are outward, not here, not even here, but here. So this is our year to do this. Now, who's ready to sit in this chair? Who's ready to get into this chair where you actually outwardly, just by the mercy of God, by the power of God, by the glory of God, holy, 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 this is the ever-increasing glory. This is where God glorifies himself, not by rapturing you out and taking you home. This is how he glorifies you to the extent you suffer with him, to that extent you'll be glorified with him. Oh, this is my suffering. No, it isn't. This was Jesus suffering for you spiritually. But here, this is your suffering. You must suffer. Read Peter, read them all. They all say this. You must also suffer yourself until you're dead and don't have a self left, so that then you can sit in this chair and actually be a lover that the world will see, and then the signs and the wonders and the miracles will come as a confirmation, not as a proof right here that I'm a Christian. Now I'm a believer, I get all that stuff. No. Your authority as a believer is to go and suffer and then walk by the Spirit and not be a person, not to enjoy all the blessings and all the stuff. You don't get those just by being a Christian and insisting on those. That is a lying deception. Listen to me carefully, because I'm attacking all kinds of things in order to get you there in the right way. If you take it cheaply here, you'll be exposed. And that's what's going to happen this year. It's going to happen. That many of those that have done it and said it in the wrong way, and they had the right idea. But you have to go through this and learn to praise. You don't just praise God when he heals you. You don't just praise God when he blesses you physically and financially. You praise him, I don't care what it is. That's what God wants. So you praise him no matter what, till you're dead. And then when he blesses, the world will see it. They do not see and care about this. When they see churches being blessed and big and all that, they're actually not impressed. They just think it's hypocrisy. They just think, oh, pastors just want to be like the whole world and so on. So they don't see the glory of God. They will only see it when you're dead and when you're living in Christ. And the Lord then does miraculous things so powerful that no man can even figure how it came. You didn't learn some formula. You didn't say a bunch of words and all this stuff. It just happened. I know when God spoke that last year for this year, He had nothing to do with our goodness. It had nothing to do with our virtue. It had nothing to do with our brilliance. It had nothing to do with anything. It just had to do with God saying, that's what I'm going to do. It's not conditional. It's not conditioned on something. Except, he told us, enlarge the place of your tent. Spread out. I want you to stretch out your curtains. Don't spare. You'll be surprised what I'm going to do. And the reason I want you to do it is not that's the way you get it. The reason I want you to do that is so that you will show ahead of time that you have faith that what God said was the truth, and that you know that you're the beloved of God. That this did not make God hate you. This made God hate Satan and sin, but not you. And he wanted you to sit here so you could sit here, so you could sit here, so you can sit here. Now, God is taking us there. Is there anyone today who got a hold of this and said, I want that. I want that for me this year. I want to be like that. I want to be whatever it takes, whatever it costs. I don't know. Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Good. Okay. God is great. He's great. This is his greatness. This is his power. But he's also merciful, but he's also holy. He's all three. Everything is holy, holy, holy. Everything is glory, glory, glory. Everything is that God loves you and wants you to sit in that chair. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's going to give it to you. Take it. Just take it. Don't earn it. Don't deserve it. Just take it. Just take it. Jesus paid for it. He loves you with a perfect love. perfect love. It'll be so perfect that even people on earth will see it and say, this is not King Uzziah. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who loves you. I hope you're blessed today.